Good morning, everybody. It is a pity for me not to be with you in San Francisco, but nevertheless, I'm happy to be virtually with you, and I'm happy that I have the opportunity to tell you a little bit about the knowledge transfer activities at CERN and why we think that the open hardware license is a great thing both for CERN and for the community. My name is Giovanni Anelli. I'm responsible for the knowledge transfer group of CERN, where we have prepared the text of the open hardware license. During my talk, I'm going to explain briefly a little bit about our activities in the knowledge transfer group, what is our strategy, and our policy, and how the open hardware license fits into that. So I move to the next slide. And why knowledge transfer at CERN? And well, what you see schematically represented in this plot is, on the left, CERN innovation. So CERN is a fundamental physics research laboratory. I don't need to tell you much about it, you probably know. And to do our ambitious research program, we constantly have to innovate, because whenever we can, we buy things to do our experiments, but very often we have to develop new things ourselves. So we are pushed to innovate. And for CERN, it's important that this innovation is somehow transferred to society. And there are two words in this graph which are important. One is dissemination. So make sure that our technologies are disseminated outside the high energy physics world, and that they generate some impact. That's the second word, so that we can hopefully have an impact on the quality of life of people, health, economy, education. So this, I think, is very important to understand the focus of our activities at CERN. Our aim is really to maximize the dissemination and the impact of CERN technologies and know-how, and this is our major goal. So if I move to the next slide, I start with a couple of old examples. On the left picture, you see this lady which is holding one of the first capacitive touchscreen panels, which were developed in the 70s by a Danish engineer. You see him in the other picture. Touch screens were used in the control room of one of our accelerators at the time. The other thing that you see being held by Bent Stumpe, this Danish engineer, and also in the other picture at the bottom right, is a trackball that he also built to facilitate the way the accelerators were controlled at the time. Now, nobody knows that some very first prototypes of both touchscreens and trackballs were done at CERN in the 70s. So, and those things were then reinvented somewhere else by somebody else. And I show you this just to say, well, at the time CERN didn't have a knowledge transfer group, and what today we would try to do is make sure that this innovation which was produced at CERN at the time could have benefited somebody else. And again, this is not with the idea of generating money, but is really to have some recognition for the activities made by our laboratory. What do we do? So in this slide you see our CERN, our core competencies, and is of course a very schematic representation, but CERN, we have a lot of know-how in the following fields. So technologies which have to do with accelerating particles, you see superconductivity, very high vacuum techniques, very high magnetic field magnets, cryogenics. Then we have data processing. Our experiments generate an enormous amount of data that we need to process and save somewhere and make available to the whole physics community to do the data analysis. And then we have very high performance detectors and electronics. So those are the fields in which we are pushed to innovate, and as I said, in which our people have a lot of knowledge. And I put the accent on the knowledge because for me what is important is not only the technologies we develop, but also the knowledge of the people, which can be useful to other laboratories or sometimes to companies in our member states and not only. So what do we do with this knowledge and with these technologies? And I like to say that we have a whole spectrum of KT opportunities. The first three things that you see are the kind of, I would say, traditional standard way of doing technology transfer. Licensing, service and consultancy, and R&D collaborations. Those are clearly some very, very important ways of doing knowledge and technology transfer. But we have other ways as well. There are two things which I call KT through procurement and KT through people. KT through procurement happens when, during the execution of a procurement contract, a company which is working with CERN to supply things to CERN is at the end being helped by our engineers in developing the products that we need. And some years ago, we made a survey amongst about 500 companies which had been working with CERN in high-tech field, and they all recognized that it was extremely beneficial for them to be a supplier to CERN. They learn a lot of things that they could apply in other things. KT through people, well, CERN, we are 2,250 staff-ish. Then we have hundreds of fellows, but we have 11,000 users. And we have a lot of students and people who come at CERN through short-term contacts. They learn things, and thanks to the knowledge that they acquired while being here, then they go back to the member states, some of them, and hopefully they have a nice career. We have knowledge transfer and new technologies which happens during the execution of European-funded projects, in which CERN is very much involved, and those are also technologies which can be beneficial for our external partners. We are working on having a network of business incubator centers in our member states to foster the creation of new companies based on our technologies. And finally, I come to two things. One is called the CERN Easy Access IP model. This is something we copied from the University of Glasgow and adapted it to the CERN specificities. And finally, to the CERN Open Hardware License. So I don't have much time. I went very quickly through this. I just wanted to tell you that what we try to do in the KT group is to find multiple way of disseminate our technologies and adapt the tools that we have to the specificities of the knowledge and the technology to be disseminated. Now, I'm going to give you some examples just to give you an idea of things maybe you will not be discussing today. The first example comes from the accelerator sector. This is a technology called non-evaporable getter. In the picture you see the beam pipe of one of our accelerators, and inside you have a bar of three materials which are used to deposit inside the walls of this vacuum pipe a non-evaporable getter, which is a kind of like the sticky paper for flies. I know it's a bit disgusting, but it gives you the idea, is a material which allows to make very high vacuum by attracting the molecules of air which are in the beam pipe. Now, this technology, the same people who invented it had the idea to apply it in something completely different, which is thermal solar panels. The idea is simple. A solar panel, you try to catch the energy of the sun with a black absorber, but you lose quite a lot of the energy you catch through diffusion and convection and radiation. Now, radiation, we cannot do anything about it, but the other two phenomena can be stopped if you put your absorber in vacuum. So here you see a picture of one of the solar panels that were developed based on this technology. The absorber is closed into a glass box where we make vacuum, and we keep vacuum inside this glass box for 20 to 30 years thanks to this technology I just explained to you. So in this case, this is a technology of CERN. We gave we entered into a partnership with a startup company, and now they have a license on this technology, and they use it to produce these thermal solar panels, which have the advantage using vacuum to have a much higher efficiency than many other products which are commercially available. And you see how well it works here. Well, you barely see the panel here buried under some 30 centimeters, no? And you see a thermometer, I'm not sure you can read it, but you have 80.5 degrees Celsius. So you see that's the temperature of the fluid inside the panel. So despite the fact that it's covered by snow, it's a cold winter day, the little light which managed to penetrate through the snow, due to the fact the vacuum is such a good insulator, is enough to heat the fluid which is in the panel to collect the heat at 80 degrees. One of the biggest installations of those panels has been installed on the roofs of the buildings of the airport of Geneva. Another example which comes from the detector world, we have a technology called the MediPix, and this is a derivation of the some pixel chips that we use inside the detectors to understand what happens after the collision of two protons. We made a chip called MediPix, which has today many, many uses. And one of the uses of MediPix is, for example, this project called CERN School. At CERN, we have some teachers, high school teachers, who come at CERN to learn about new physics. We say that a teacher is a multiplicator because what they learn with us can be then transmitted to hundreds or thousands of students. And this teacher came to CERN, saw MediPix, and said, oh, I can use it to teach physics to my student. And then the CERN School project started. She developed a program to teach physics based on this with a manual. And what is nice is that the students are really engaged in the project, and thanks to, well, first of all, they like physics, which is good, and they even applied to a competition to send one of the detectors they were building into space, and they won it. It is really an interesting project because it changes a little bit the way of teaching physics. It's important for CERN to attract also young people to our field. CERN Easy Access IP, this is what I mentioned before. The idea is very simple. Sometimes we have our technologies which we want to license out, but we don't know exactly to whom and which way. And sometimes we got the criticism, technology transfer offices in the world get the criticism that we are too complex, is sometimes too difficult to approach us. I don't think this is the case, but we developed this scheme with the idea, as I said, we took it from Glasgow, to put some of our technology under this scheme where people who have a good idea on how to use those technologies can get a free license. You can download the two licenses there, exclusive or non-exclusive. They can get a free license to use those technologies as long as they tell us for 10 years what they are going to do with it. Because as I mentioned before, for us, what is important is know what people do with it rather than getting money. Now, finally, let me focus a little bit on the CERN open hardware license. So, you will be hearing a lot about it today with examples. I just want to tell you why I think it's making an impact. As you know, it was launched in 2011. I have to say I was very pleased to see that there was a great interest from the worldwide community. So. This is good for me because it means that we were not doing a useless exercise, that it was a kind of need perceived in the community, and people were happy that we were doing that. The proof that this is having an impact is that there are more than 50 hardware designs which are licensed under the license, and there are more than 20 companies which are using it. The license being used also by people outside our community. And this, for me, I always say this, for me, is kind of a case of double dissemination. Not only we disseminate our own hardware with the license we have written, but also we disseminate our legal work, if you want, by the fact that people are using the open hardware license for hardware which has nothing to do with us. And again, thanks to the feedback and interactions that we had with the community, we could improve and the license and prepared version 1.2, which has been released recently. So why is it good for CERN? And this is really our KT point of view. Well, first of all, it's really in line with our KT strategy. It's a way to maximize the dissemination and the impact of our technology. It allows for some of our technologies, and I underline this, and this is really my point of view, is not the best tool for any kind of hardware, but for some of our technologies, it's great because it allows having many companies in CERN member states profiting from our intellectual property. But as I mentioned, for us it's important that we get recognition. So please help us with this. Tell us if you use our open hardware license and how you use it. And what is also very good, I think, is that it's especially good for small companies. So it's a way to help small companies having access to our technologies as it lowers the barriers to entry for them. is good because we also can benefit from the improvements made by others. And finally, and this is a really specific KT point of view, it is for me a very good example of how our technical people at CERN can help us KT, not only transferring the technologies, but finding innovative ways to do KT. And this is something we appreciate a lot. When we have technical people who come with their ideas on how to do things, this allows us to sometimes finding, trying to match their needs, finding new ways to do knowledge transfer. So I'm finished here. I'd like to thank you very much for your attention, and I will be happy to answer your questions.